Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this episode of the Blue Collar BS. I am the B, Brad, and
I'm the S, Steve.
Perfect. Good to see you again, Mr. Doyle. How is life in the great Motor City of Detroit?
You know, it's great times here. It's fall. It's, you know, can't ask for any better weather. It's fairly sunny, nice and cool.
So this episode is actually recording on Halloween, October 31st. Probably airing here, I would assume, sometime in early to mid-December. Mm-hmm. So it is fall. Things are good. Detroit Lions are looking good. Unfortunately, the fucking Packers can't lose a game, so that's really pissing me off. But that's okay.
That's all right.
I had a conversation with a young lady that's in Toronto, so I'm hoping the Blue Jays can win the World Series tonight in Game 6 and put that to bed. And she's a soon-to-be guest here. She's a steam fitter.
Ooh, all right.
Young lady steam fitter in the union up in Ontario. Daryl Granix would probably like her a lot, being that he's in that up in Canada as well. So,
yep.
So pre-show, we were talking either old white guy rant at Costco, which we opted not to go with, or customer service in the automotive industry. Let's go with option B.
All right. Let's go down that route. So, my daughter, we just upgraded some vehicles. We said goodbye to Clifford, my big red truck, after, almost 13 years, 12, 13 years. It's time to put Clifford off to have somebody else deal with him.
Clifford went to the farm.
Clifford did go to the farm.
What happened to the dog? Oh, we took him to the farm.
Yep. And, which was good. But what came out of it was very interesting. So, my wife was kind of leading the charge. She's like, nope,
she hasn't listened to the show, does she?
No, she don't.
Okay, good. Just check.
She don't.
Before we go down this path,
it doesn't matter if she's listening or not. It doesn't matter.
Facts are facts, right?
Facts are facts, right? And so she was leading the charge with the whole car thing. I was traveling for work. So she was contacting dealerships.
For work.
For work, air quotes. Yep, for work. Not air quotes, real. But she was leading the charge. So she's typically doing everything on her phone. So everything is going to be internet searches. Hey, who's, you know, and contacting dealerships. This is the type of vehicle I'm looking for.
Blah, blah. How old is your wife?
She's 47.
Okay. So she's adapting to technology as a Gen X.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Correct. So wait, you just identified her as Gen X. I am older than she is. So perfect. Got it clear.
You're a millennial. It's okay.
You're
a millennial, Steve. Don't worry about it. She behaves.
Got it cleared. All right. Anyways. So she's reaching out online.
Okay.
Had a dealership contact her. She's like, okay. They're like, come in. And so when I got back on the weekend, we go into the dealership. She's like, it's with the sales rep. Everything's fine. Person starts asking some certain questions, says, hey, I'm going to get back with you. I'll get back with you, you know, in a couple, you know, within the day, I'll get back with you with, you know, what the deliverables that he said he was going to get back with. Okay, fine. Day goes by, nothing. Sunday's come and gone, nothing. I leave again.
Are you guys open on Sundays? Are your dealers open Sundays in Michigan?
I don't know if they are or not. I don't pay attention, honestly.
Because I know in Wisconsin, we're not, by law, that our dealerships aren't open on Sundays.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that.
Okay. I was just curious. You threw Sunday out there, but if they're closed.
I did. Well, I mean, if it was me and I said I would buy a deliverable, I would deliver on it. On that, yeah. There's other, like, if I had made that type of commitment, I mean,
you've,
like,
made some commitments on this show on the path.
That's different.
Anyways, I get your point.
you get the point. So I fly out the next week, heard nothing. Wednesday comes around. So midweek, Wednesday comes around, salesperson comes back and says, hey, can you send me? And it was all the stuff that we had talked about on Saturday. And that starts throwing up flags for anyone. So, you know, my wife, she's like, okay, I'll send all that stuff. And she's like, are you going to send me what you said you were going to send me? Didn't send nothing that day. The next day came back and said, oh, you're going to need to come back in. I'm not going to send it over to you. You need to come in and meet with me. And she immediately sends me a text while I'm gone. She's like, we're not dealing with this at all. I don't need to go in to have a conversation. This is what I want. And I said, okay, well, do you want to have a different sales experience? Because when I bought my truck a year ago, we'll see if the sales rep is still there. But it was all done via email. And I had some phone calls. And she's like, yeah. So Shannon just told the person, look, thanks for your, like, thanks, but no, we're not doing this.
Thanks, but you suck. I'm going to move on to the next person to help me
out. And it's just like, we don't need to go in. And all it was, why they want you to go in is to make a hard sales pitch to you.
Correct.
It's like, you haven't even sent me the number. Like, I want to know, is this in the ballpark or not? That's it. And if you can't do those simple things, then why should I even consider following up with you? I don't have time to waste. I don't have 30 minutes to drive there.
Should've
I don't
have Carvana.
Could have,
but get it out of the car vending machine.
Could have. That's a little too. That's definitely not Gen X.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. So go to this other dealership, and completely opposite experience. Person is extremely responsive.
What was the generation of the service person upon which that was not committing to the expectations that were set?
I'm going to assume Gen X.
You didn't go in to see them on Saturday or no?
Yeah, but I didn't ask. I was there, but I'm going to assume they're our age. The person was our age. Could it have been a millennial? Could have. Right? You're in that
tweener spot.
Yeah, it could be in that tweener spot. Right. Okay. But I mean, I'm just mid to late
40s is what you're saying.
I'm just going to put it out there. Based on how the person shook my hand, I already knew this person was not going to move and make things happen. Just in how the person walked up, presented themselves, shook my hand. Now, person had on the regular polo, you know, had on all the stuff, but did not talk confidently to me or my wife.
So a lot of negative, passive verbiage.
Very passive vibes and behaviors coming off the salesperson. 100%.
So right? when you walked past the sales manager's office or the counter of things, did you happen to go and find out how many X's this person had on his book in the month? Because usually the sales tally is very out open in the present.
To be honest, I was more watching how all the sales reps did not interact with anybody but themselves that were in so people outside, there's people outside looking at vehicles. All the sales rep are inside talking to themselves.
It would have been interesting to see where your person was on the hierarchy of X's.
My gut tells me they were not very high on that list, just all based on how they presented themselves, right? And that's just the way certain things are. But I will tell you, the other dealership. So we're going to put in gender into this. So I'm going to put this out there. That at that dealership, if there was a woman on the floor, I have no idea. It was very much male dominated on the sales floor. Okay. Other dealership, opposite, mostly female. There were male sales reps, but mostly female.
What age bracket?
All age brackets, but the one that helped us, I am going to venture to say young millennial, older Gen Z.
Get her on the show.
We'll see. Could be a guest, potentially. Absolutely. So let's talk about how different they were, because this person was extremely responsive via email. You could call, when you call this person up, absolutely answer. Yep, I'll have that to you in 30 minutes. You'd have it in 16 minutes.
So when you poor expectation setting.
No.
Over deliver.
I would say, yeah, you could say knowing how long things actually take to actually generate and work. I mean, yeah, 30 minutes, because if you got a phone call and things like normal, right? But when you come back and you're like, boom, nope, here it is. Because the person wanted to move on to get other things done. This person, like, she would actually make things happen. If things weren't moving fast enough, she's going to make things happen.
So as the behavioral therapist that you are,
sure,
insert undocumented behavioral therapist.
I do have letters I can put after my name.
Where was Mr. Soft Hands on the disc profile?
Definitely going on the S with some I.
Some S with a little I,
not much.
And then where is? We're not going to talk about his little I. Don't want slander here.
Anyways.
And then where is Miss? I'm going to go get it done.
Definitely mostly I with some D.
And natural or adaptive behaviors?
Oh, both natural.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Adaptive, I would say the first of the male sales rep, when adapting, way more scared. So operating under stress and scared definitely pulls back into S, 100%.
Okay.
Definitely pulls back, like, okay. And the other sales rep, she is definitely, when adapting, D, 100%. Pulls out the big D. Let's go. Let's go.
Little I and a big D. Yep. Okay. Yep. Welcome to 2025, folks.
Wow. Okay. Not going there.
Nope.
So, but yeah, I was just a complete 180, but even just how responsive she was, I find it more amazing about how many people are not responsive to people, and they just ask a simple question. That's all I want to know. I'm not here to shop and price against anybody else. I just want to know what are the expectations? And if you can't deliver them clearly and quickly, why should I do business with you? Why? I don't have time to go through your quote unquote sales training that tells me that, oh, you have to come in here so I can do a hard pitch to you. Piss off. Right?
You were in the UK recently, weren't you?
I was.
That's where the piss off came from.
I was. Yep. But yeah, it just shocks me when you sit back and yeah, we deliver sales training and stuff, and it's so surprising of how I would say more traditional things don't factor in the human aspect of, hey, people don't have time to waste to sit there and drive from point A to point B. Sit and listen to you try to sell them for 2 hours when all they wanted to know is, what are the numbers and what are my payment expectations? How hard is that?
So when my wife decided to buy her cute little car, her cute little CHR,
mm-hmm.
Which was a horrible purchase, terrible, terrible, but it was cute and I got to have it. It looks so cute. But it was just too fucking small for anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're there December 31st, 2019. So we're end of month, end of year,
yep.
Right? We're there. We get this awesome young sales guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's 18 years old. He's graduated, right? He started out in the dealership, working the lots, doing the things, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And they gave him the shot to go sell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that particular dealership, this was car number 7 I was buying from this dealership.
Okay.
So I know the routine pretty well of what they're trying to do. And I don't want to go through the entire routine.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to get to the end. So I don't have to spend the 4 hours of all the other things and this and that. So I'm like, okay, dude, here's what I got. I want this car. I want to trade in this car. With the new vehicle, I want this extended warranty, this, that, the other thing that happens at the finance guy, not at the, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and this is what I like the end number to be in this range.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? He goes back to the sales manager and does the thing. I'm like, no, you're not paying. You're not listening to me.
Right.
I know you're new here. I got it. But this is what I'm looking to do. Then one of the, not the actual sales manager, but like the assistant sales manager, she comes over to help him out. She goes, sir, is there a problem here? I'm like, no, there is no problem. This is what I'm trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we making this more difficult than it's been? If you look up my records, you look up all the things, this is like number 7. Right? This isn't...
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really trying to do anything. I'm just trying to get through the process here. I know it's busy. I know it's all these other things, but the guy in the finance department that has the little sheet, he should be able to tell you what those things can go for and put the numbers in there.
Right.
But we don't do that here in the sales.
That's
not
department. Our process.
I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I don't care. Then get me in. Right. And so they gave me another guy that's been there forever and a day. And I'm like, dude, you cannot punish this kid for this. You need to give him the commission on this.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing the deal with you because he did his job. He was trying to do his job and learn. And he was polite and he was awesome and he was a great kid. But I'm like, I'm not taking his commission out of his pocket.
Yep.
Because
you guys can't get out of your own way. Yeah.
Can you agree with that? And he's like, yes, I can agree with that. And he's like, okay, cool. Then let's continue this and let's get the fuck out of here.
Right. Yeah. It's like, we shouldn't have to be there for hours for something simple. Like, it's not that hard. I want to give you money to take this vehicle from you that you're paying interest on. Like, how can we make this, I think dealerships actually think of, how can we make this way more painful for everyone involved? Like, it doesn't have to be that way.
No, it doesn't. And when I got my rack with the RAV4 and went and bought my impulsive vehicle that I have slight remorse for.
Oh.
But it's like, you know, Bob Hill, who is my sales guy, I'm like, yep. Bob, this is what we need to do. Here's what it is. And he went and walked out of the finance department. He knew the deal. He knew what I was looking for. This is what we can do. This is that. Here's the trading. Can we make this work? Is this a number that's going to work for you? Here's the things. Great. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Still took some time, but the amount of paperwork that's required for a new vehicle is just insane. It's worse than buying a house.
Correct. It's pretty close. It's pretty like, close to the signing day that you
it's
do
like for mortgage. Sign this, sign that. I'm like, this shouldn't be that hard.
Mm-hmm. But we make it hard for sure.
So what could the SI individual have done or adapted to, or what advice would you give somebody that's of that more passive behavioral styles to potentially be more successful in a customer service sales role?
Mm, that's a great question, Brad. For me personally,
it's what I do. You know this already.
I do know. For me personally, just breaking it down, it's the relationship that matters. It's you don't have to have like, you don't have to have like, hey, we got to become best buddies. But people are going to buy from somebody they know, like, and trust. And if you haven't earned the respect to get to know somebody,
you know, through what you've done.
Okay, but that SI correct. Behavioral style is correct. So let's just stay on the disc for a little bit, and we're going to probably lose some members here, okay. But let's just stay there for a second, because I think we're going to get into a little bit of an argument,
but
that's okay. Could be our first fight. So I got an SI that's in a sales role, right? Historically, that's a bad match for a sales role, because no is not a typical opportunity an S likes to hear. Or an I.
Correct. Sure, we can go down that route.
So being told no is not one of the things that gets them really excited, because they want to make...
Yeah, rejection. Rejections runs, you know, rejection rates are correct. High. Yep.
And that's not something that typically makes those two behavioral styles excited. So a primary S, secondary I, what would you ask them to do differently in his transaction with you? To make it more, to get over the inhibitions, to get into the, we're going to make this right, to remove the steadiness portion of his behavioral style or fear, maybe. What, given that it appears your bride was probably more on a D side of things, you're definitely going to be on the D side of things going through that. Presenting that way to them, because you're coming them with, you're coming to him with wants, right? So you're already on a very, you're coming in from his perspective aggressive, your perspective not, just facts.
Okay. Yeah, it's facts. Okay. I agree with those.
How would you suggest that S behavior change or adapt or get out of the way in order to convert the sale?
Easy enough. Just be a servant. One of the traits for an S is how can I be the best at serving you right then and there? Right? How can I do that? And if I'm serving, I'm not getting told yes or I'm not getting told no. But in this case, there was I would say there was almost a lack of service, because somebody asks for something and you don't deliver it. You're like, okay. And you walk away and then you come back. So what was it that you wanted again? So number one, we didn't listen to be able to serve. All we knew is we were so caught up in the, oh, I've got to perform. I've got to do this. I've got to check the box. I got to do this. We couldn't be present in the moment to actually just be there.
So I'm going to dial this back another layer of this onion here.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So that is that's your interaction there. So now we kind of joked around where his exes were on the board for the month.
Correct.
And where his job performance pressure might be, and
correct,
high turnover rates in an automotive industry from a sales perspective.
Correct.
And if you don't, right, I'm not going to spend the time if I can't make any change on it. And so if that individual, let's assume that individual is in that lower third of performers.
Sure.
At this point, and now it's mid month. You're there. And what suggestions or opportunities would you give the sales manager to support that type of behavior to be successful? Because to me, this is a sales manager problem, not that employee's problem. That's how I'm looking at this.
I think it's two-way street. But from a salesman, you're not disagreeing.
I'm not, it is a two-way street, but I'm going to say that my assumption, it's a bold assumption. You were there, I was not. My assumption, though, is that the pressure of the entity and the performance of the individual contributor to satisfy to be the servant to the sales manager outweighed
100%.
His potential mindset.
Correct. 100%.
Of serving you.
Correct.
And that, to me, is a sales manager issue, not the salesperson's issue.
Correct. And I would assume, so... Let's talk sales manager perspective first before, I'm going to lose the thought anyways. So from a, just facts. Okay. So, but from a sales manager perspective, obviously they're not catering to what the person's strengths are. They're looking at it going, hey, I need to watch this person because clearly they're not doing what they need to be. They're not following the book of what we tell them they need to do. So I need to understand what it is they're doing. So I need to be here to witness 100% of what they're doing. Which when you're doing that from that perspective for that type of person, all you're doing is sucking all their confidence away from them. Clearly telling them, you have no clue of what you're doing. You're in the bottom. You're going to be on your way out. Part of me just wants to confirm in our meetings that, yeah, you're clearly just not cut out for what this job needs. And so I'm just now you're at a measuring stick to go, yep, you're out. Or you can use it as a training perspective to say, okay, this person, this S, what is it that you really need and would like. Yeah, you'd like to have everybody teed up on a silver spoon and they come in and they're willing to throw money at you just to, and all you got to do is process paperwork. We can't even get that person to do that.
They got paperwork at those types of shops? Never mind. You're a dealership. Sorry. People throw you got you had me lost at people throwing money at you. I was confused for a minute. I thought you were at a different at a different establishment. Sorry.
Not that one. not that type. But really start to think about that from how they're being trained. Like, what does this person really need? They need that support system to give them the confidence that they can go serve the customer. Right. And that's not what they're getting. They're getting, you need to follow X, Y, and Z step by step by step. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get a sale. So now this person in their mind is going, okay, I got to do this. I have to do this. I'm going to pause because if I don't do it right, then I'm going to piss off my boss. Oh, I got to make sure I'm doing this. And now there's that lack of confidence that's coming through. And that lack of confidence gets passed on to the client, and the client's walking away. And what's the salesperson like? I don't know what I didn't do. They didn't come in. I couldn't sell them. No, it started because you couldn't deliver on basic function, on the basic stuff. When you said you're going to go do it and you didn't do it.
That's why I wanted to take it back to the sales manager. Cause I truly believe that is a training and a sales, a leadership problem. Now it might be that he is truly not cut out for the role and for the volume and for the pace and for the pressure. And he might do really well on a HVAC organization taking service calls or supporting people on the phone to do something along the way, or an inside customer service or whatever, versus a direct sales type scenario. But I wanted to have that conversation just to help people understand that when you are talking to your sales team and you are trying to identify why the performance isn't there, you need to turn that mirror around and look at yourself. How are you empowering your team to do the thing versus here's the stuff.
Absolutely.
Right. And I know some of our members of the organization upon which we belong to listen to some of these episodes here and there and are out there, but that is one of the fatal flaws of our organization is, well, it's a three-step call and this is what you do, and you do this and you go through the curious code, you do the SBR, and then you do this, and then you ask them for the business right away. That doesn't fucking work in many industries. It might work in some instances for some services, but not even close to most of the things that we go out and try to perform with our clients.
Yeah. So if you focus more on how you can serve, you would be, you're more amazed at all the opportunities that are immediately available.
Right. I met a guy, I had a connection with somebody from the Builders Association, saw them at a breakfast. I was having another meeting, saw them at breakfast, connected with her, said, hi, how's it going? He introduced me to the guy that she was talking to, and we went on. Her and I had a conversation a couple weeks later. She said, I should introduce you to him. Okay, great. So I just had breakfast with him last week, and we're just talking. He's telling me about his business, about his lighting business, about what's happening and what's going on and what he's thinking about. And he's using the word franchise and all this other stuff. And like, probably risk, and just saying, okay, have you thought about it and what's going on? And he's a year or two older than I am. And he's like, hey, I got to try to figure this out. I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, so what do you do? I'm like, I just stuff, right? Like, what does an engagement look like? What happens? And I gave him the range, gave him something. Like, I'm not there to sell him. I'm there to have a conversation to feel how, how can he go out and what can I give him from an introduction to support him along the way? And part of that is my intention every year is to provide 100 meaningful introductions every year to people that might make sense. And I believe this year I'm right around 80-ish right now. Through LinkedIn and other things. And it's like, okay, cool. Like Ann and Noosh, we're going to make that introduction to them, and away we go. But those are the things. How can we make the connections to serve?
Yeah.
Because then you're always going to be remembered for what you did for them because you wanted to, not because you were part of the process.
Correct.
And people can feel it and they can know it. And it's, there's a reason why everybody's frustrated with cable companies when you call the service hotline, when you call customer service, my cable's out, and they go through the script.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why people are frustrated with the script. Unfortunately, most of the time that script solves most of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've been through the script and you know it's not the problem, they still have to go through the script. So don't get pissed at them.
Right.
Right. And you can go through it and say, hey, you know, this is the fourth time I've called. There should be notes on it. Here's the situation. Yes, I've done all these things. Da, 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 da. It's time that we, because it, you just need, if you know what's going on, be patient with the person on the other side. They're mm-hmm. not trying to be an asshole to you. They're right. They're doing their job because the calls are being recorded. Their mm-hmm. performance is being there. And once they get past those steps and you get through some of that stuff, you can then say, okay, great. And once in a while, you get somebody that's willing to do the right thing and not follow the process mm-hmm. because they have the clout right. within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, sometimes it's a random act of who picks up the phone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So customer service 101.
Yeah. Just serve. That's it. Just serve.
That's why it's in the name. It's called customer service.
Just serve.
And one of the things I try to get people like my clients and networking partners and mm-hmm. other folks in our own organization, I'm like, why are you selling to them? Let them buy from you.
Correct.
What do you mean let them buy from you? Just let them buy from you. Mm-hmm. 'Cause the moment you're selling, I've got a newer client, younger guy, starting a bookkeeping business. I'm like, dude, why are you selling all the time?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm told. Always be selling.
Let people buy from you. Let them mm-hmm. go be curious, be understanding, understand what the situation is, because you have a customizable mm-hmm. service-based business. How can you sell something you don't know what they need?
Mm-hmm. But I know they need it. No, you don't. You don't know anything.
Well, enjoy your Halloween dressing up as a lumberjack, going trick or treat, whatever you're going to do this weekend.
I will try, sir. I will try.
All right. So, we meet again. Our mm-hmm. actual next show that you and I are going to do is going to be in 2 weeks. It's going to be the day after Christmas. December 26th is our next.
Yeah, film. Baby.
So I can't wait to see how we're going to record that one and talk about the holiday season. And
oh, I can't wait.
So, that could be your commitment to the show is come up with another fruitful idea.
Another fruitful idea. Yet another fruitful idea on it.
That would be more than that would be the next one.
On it.
Perfect. All right. Have a great weekend, sir.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue collar businesses strong for generations to come.